Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, November the 29th, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. We have lots of news for you today from the VA, from the National Veterans Legal Services Program, from the American Legion, and from other sources, so please stay tuned. Before we get to the news, let's first say hello to my co-host, Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard. How's it going?
Hey, David. Oh, good there, David. Hope everybody out there had a nice Thanksgiving holiday and you ate a lot of turkey. Hopefully you didn't overeat. I got some time to spend with family and friends and do all the good things that should be done over Thanksgiving holiday. But yeah, we're right back at it for the Veterans News Hour. And before we get into some of the show here, I do want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show. The number's 1-888-627-6008. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. Every week I remind you veterans that this is your show. If you have a topic that you want us to talk about, we do not have a guest tonight, so it's a good time to call in. And you can be our guest and tell us about your situation that, you know, what you're dealing with the VA. Or maybe you're at the appeal level and you're dealing with the Board of Veteran Appeals. So give David and I a call and we'd love to chat with you. And before I get into some news, I just want to bring up a topic that David and I started talking about a couple of weeks ago. And it's kind of a disturbing and alarming situation over at the VA and the BVA. And that's the mail system.
Oh, yeah.
This past week, I can't tell you how many calls from clients, and they were, you know, just alarmed. They got a piece of mail. It's dated sometime in mid-September, and they're just getting it 2 days ago. They're asking me if I got a copy, and I mean, they're just all, you know, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress associated with the mail system right now, and rightfully so. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. And I can tell veterans that, you know, in talking to the judges, you don't have to be too concerned about the deadlines. It might be 30 days or 15 days or even 60 days. If you are out of time when you receive the mail from the VA, or if it's an unreasonable amount of time to respond, it's my understanding that, no veteran, no attorney, no one's going to be held to that problem and that deadline, that shortened deadline or an expired deadline. So, rest easy. Your claim will continue to proceed. But notwithstanding, you know, their willingness to acknowledge the problem and work with the veterans and counsel, it still is a big problem. And, when I get, you know, as many calls as I receive, either emails or text messages, it's clearly, you know, our veterans are anxious about that situation. And what I've been told, and I'll pass this along, is that it's not going to get any better anytime soon. It could be a year. But the VA and the Board of Veteran Appeals is aware of it. But, that's about all you're going to get. That they're aware, they're acknowledging it. But as far as curing the problem, hang on. You're in for a long ride. So, David, why don't you chime in on that? I'm sure you've had a similar experience.
Yeah, and it's my understanding, and just for listeners that might be thinking that it's the United States Postal Service is to blame, it's not a USPS problem. This is a problem between the VA and I saw one email from the VA that said the government printing office. Apparently, I don't know exactly behind the scenes how it works, but the process that the VA uses whenever their personnel, you know, push a button on the computer to have another office print out a decision letter or a Board of Appeals decision and then put it in an envelope and mail it, that system is fouled up. There's a huge delay that's going on. And Rick, like you say, we're seeing documents that are dated 6 weeks, 8 weeks prior to receipt. And of course, as I mentioned on prior shows, most of the time, nearly all the time, they are using envelopes that do not have a U.S. Postal Service postmark. So you can't see when it was dispatched in, you know, when the Postal Service got it. Instead, it has, as any veteran that deals with the VA knows, it's in a VA envelope that just has sort of a generic stamp on it. It's not a stamp. It's by stamp, I mean a pre-printed envelope. I don't mean a postage stamp. There's no postmark, so you don't know when they dispatched it, but you do know from the date of the decision or the letter that's inside that envelope that, you know, it can be 6 to 8 weeks, and that's a huge problem. This is a problem that is new to the last 6 months. I mean, yes, in past years there have been other mail problems, but not at this level and not this type of a problem. There's been problems in the past where we may get letters a few weeks late, and sometimes a separate problem, Rick, and I think you've seen this, is that sometimes they won't send a copy to a representative, like to the lawyer or whoever the representative is, even though they'll indicate on the letter that they had, and so the veteran thinks the representative got a copy and they did not, or they'll send it to the wrong address. I mean, it's really amazing the sorts of errors. But this problem that you've just described, Rick, is a brand new major problem that is huge. And I'm sorry to hear from what you said that they don't see a short-term solution. To me, that just speaks to the VA losing some steps, going backwards. There's no excuse for it. It's a problem that should be resolved. You know, when I was on active duty, whenever the service would encounter a problem, and I was in the Air Force, and they encountered a problem, they didn't ignore it and just pretend that it would take care of itself. They would assign a group of people. They might call it a tiger team, you know, to sort of emphasize the urgency of it, to tackle the problem, come up with a plan, implement it, follow up, track it, and all this sort of thing. I've not seen any publicity other than some emails that I received from the VA whenever I've sent emails trying to find out what's going on. I have not seen in their press releases, and I track their VA press releases every week in preparing for this show, I've seen nothing where they have put out the word. And I'm not saying, veteran organizations that I track in preparing for this show. I don't see them complaining about it. So I urge our listeners, you know, speak up, send messages to your representatives in Congress, and complain also to the VA. This is unacceptable. And if they're saying it might not be cured for a year, that's nonsense. It causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of trouble. And when they say, oh, don't worry about deadlines, I'm waiting to see what happens. You know, some of the deadlines are pretty fixed deadlines, like 120-day deadline to appeal to the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. That's a deadline that, the VA doesn't have the power just to ignore or waive. So we'll see how this unfolds, but I really encourage people at every level, whether they're a veteran service officer, whether they're just an individual veteran, to speak up, voice their complaint. The other bit of advice I have is document your files. Whenever you get a letter late, immediately send, fax, upload to the VA a letter that's document saying, hey, VA, your letter dated September 15th, 2021. I just received it on November the 29th. I'm documenting this into my claims file for perpetuity, because I'll tell you what, in a year or two from now, this will all be forgotten, and some VA bureaucrat a couple years down the road, when this case is being heard on appeal, they will say, I guarantee you, our computer shows that it was mailed on September the 15th. implying that their presumption of regularity in the government, that you should have received it within a few days instead of 8 weeks later. So document it. I know it's more time consuming, but that's what I'm doing. I encourage people to do that. So, all right, I'll get off my soapbox, Rick. Go ahead.
No. And, you know, I want to remind, because we talked about this, you know, and this is a situation I had with a veteran who's got a very good, appeal going back to 2013 to 2014. Anyway, in the process, we got caught into a situation where we had to go back to the Board of Veteran Appeals to litigate an issue whether or not my client received the statement of case. And, Dave, you just mentioned the presumption of regularity. Well, the VA was saying that they had, you know, had mailed it. So as far as they were concerned, it was received. And I never got one, and the client never got one. And then they tried to say that they sent an interim letter reminding myself and the client, well, that we never got that one either. And and we had the hearing, and we won the case. And so now he can proceed with the merits of the appeal. But after we got off the phone, or after we got off the hearing with the BVA, my client and I decided to call the VA. And, the person we spoke to was terrific. And he said to me, he said, "Mr. Hurley, not only do I see everything you're telling me, but I can also see that they never mailed it." And I almost dropped my cell phone when I heard that. I said, "You can actually see that?" Because yeah, I can see it right here. The documents that the VA is telling you that they sent to you never left the barn.
No.
And, you know, that just again goes back to, and this is years ago. So, you know, when it comes to the VA, they've had problems for a long, long time. And this is just another one of those problems. So, it just means that everyone's got to be, proactive and do your due diligence, because you can't just roll over, when this kind of stuff happens. So in any event, let me get on to some, news. We got the National Veterans Legal Services Program, the NVLSP.org, wants the veterans and their families to know that it has a new Burn Pits Claims Assistance Program, Burn Pits CAP. This program marks a major expansion of the free legal representation that the NVLSP has provided to veterans and their survivors over the last 40 years. The Burn Pits CAP will assist veterans exposed to toxic emission from burn pits while serving overseas by representing them on claims for disability benefits before the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Open-air burn pits located near military bases were commonly used by the U.S. military departments in Southwest Asia to dispose of assorted waste and other matter. The Department of Defense and the VA agree that the smoke and fumes emitted from these burn pits contain numerous toxic chemicals. Over 240,000 veterans and service members have documented their exposure in the VA's Airborne Hazards and Open Burn Pit Registry. Despite its recognition that burn pits located on numerous military bases emitted toxic chemicals, the VA has thus far denied over 75% of the disability claims based on burn pit exposure. Burn Pit Claims Assistance Programs is a natural extension of NVLSP's legal expertise and tenacity in fighting for veterans and their families to ensure they receive the life-changing benefits they need and deserve, said NVLSP Executive Director Paul Wright. NVLSP has a solid record of defending the rights of veterans with chronic illnesses due to their exposure during military service to toxic chemicals. The most significant example is NEMA versus U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of all Vietnam veterans and their survivors who had been or would be denied VA benefits for conditions associated with exposure to Agent Orange. In this historic case, the federal court invalidated the VA Agent Orange compensation rule and approved a consent decree requiring VA to pay retroactive disability and death benefits. As a result of the consent decree and four successful motions for enforcement, VA has been forced to pay over $4.6 billion in VA compensation benefits to Vietnam veterans and their survivors. NVLSP's work on behalf of the Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange underscores the organization's ability tackle the burn pits issue, often cited as the Agent Orange equivalent for post 9/11 veterans. Learn more about NVLSP burn pits claims assistance program. Go to the website at nvlsp.org. That's nvlsp.org. NVSLP is also a steadfast advocate for legislation that would grant presumptive coverage for veterans and burn pits exposure. About the NVLSP, the National Veterans Legal Services Program is an independent nonprofit veteran service organization that served active duty military personnel and veterans since 1981. NVLSP strives to ensure that our nation honors its commitment to its 22 million veterans and active duty personnel by ensuring they have the benefits they have earned through their service to our country. NVLSP has represented veterans in lawsuits that compelled enforcement of the law where the VA or other military services deny benefits to veterans in violation of the law. The NVLSP success in these lawsuits has resulted in more than $5.2 billion being awarded in disability, death, and medical benefits to hundreds of thousands of veterans and their survivors. NVLSP offers training for attorneys and other advocates, connected veterans, and active duty personnel with pro bono legal help when seeking disability benefits, publishes the nation's definitive guide on veterans' benefits, and represents and litigates for veterans and their families before the VA, military discharge review agencies, and federal courts. For more information, again, go to www.nvlsp.org. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Rick, and thanks for highlighting National Veterans Legal Services program. Of all the many veteran organizations and legal organizations, I would have to put NVLSP at the top. And that's not to downplay the credentials or the success of many other organizations, because there are many others. And we've had them as guests over the last 5 years on the show, organizations like Military Veterans Advocacy, the Yale Law School Veterans Legal Services Clinic, and many more. But NVLSP has been in this business longer than most, for 40 years, and they've been on the leading edge with so many important issues. They also have an outstanding network where they train not only a lot of pro bono, meaning free legal representation, attorneys to provide pro bono representation, but they also work with many top well-resourced large law firms in the Washington, D.C. area on these complex class action lawsuits. So they have resources that small firms and small veteran organizations simply don't have. So I really applaud their work. They are also the authors and editors of the single best veterans benefit publication, in my opinion. Rick, I know you know this. This is the Veterans Benefit Manual. It's published every year. It's updated. It's sort of the go-to source. I don't think there's anyone that could, work in this area, whether you're a veteran service officer or an attorney, that could function properly without the Veterans Benefit Manual. It's just, I've worked over my 36-year legal career. I've worked in many areas of the law, but I've yet to find a single volume book on any legal topic that is as outstanding as the NVLSP's Veteran Benefit Manual. That's my opinion. Before I go on to some other news, Rick, I want to turn things over to you and get your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's outstanding. I mean, you can, especially if you're new in this area of the law, or young attorney venturing into this law, I mean, that can really kick you off and really set you on the right path to helping veterans, because it covers everything. And the great thing about it is it's constantly being updated. And you can't ask for anything more than that. So absolutely, David.
Yeah. But yeah, so if anyone or listeners, go to nvlsp.org. For more information and to see about their publications and their training, et cetera. Okay, I got some other news, and just before I get to the news, I want to put a plug in for both last week's show and next week's, the next 2 weeks show. Last week, in case you missed it, we had retired Air Force Colonel Cesar Rico Rodriguez, an Air Force fighter pilot, F-15 fighter pilot, who flew in multiple wars, going back to the invasion of Panama in 1989, to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, to the war in Kosovo, and he also was a commander in the lead up in the early stages of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and he was credited in his career with downing 3 enemy MiGs, which is the largest number by any single Air Force or American military pilot since Vietnam. And my point is, if you missed the show, listen to the audio tape. It's on our show's website, bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. You can see all our archived programs, and I think you'll particularly enjoy Colonel Rodriguez's interview from November 22nd. Now, the next 2 weeks, we have guests lined up. Next week's guest, which is December the 6th, we have retired Army Colonel Mike Borders of the Military Officers Association of America. And he's going to be talking about that organization, its many projects and programs on behalf of veterans. And I think you'll find it interesting. He has a leadership role in the state of Florida, particularly. And then on the following Monday, December the 13th, we have Lee Washington, who is the president of the County Veterans Service Officers Association of Florida. As veterans that deal with the VA know, the frontline work on a lot of veteran claims are done by VSOs, veteran service officers, but also county veteran service officers. Well, our guest on the 13th will be Lee Washington, who's the president in the state of Florida of the County Veteran Service Officers Association. He's also the director of neighborhood services for Manatee County government here in Florida. So stay tuned. Next 2 weeks, we have those guests lined up. Okay, in other news, as I throw out my net looking for information might be of interest, I came across an interesting item on the American Legion website. They announced in a press release just a few days ago, on November 26th, that this next Saturday, December the 4th, the American Legion is teaming up with an organization called Regiment Gaming. They're going to host a military gaming tournament with about 25 professional gamers and 40 veterans and service members. The Veterans Bash Tournament, as it's called, is an online Call of Duty Warzone tournament where veterans and service members will have an opportunity to play with celebrity pro gamers and compete for a cash prize of $6,000. Veterans and service members can apply for a chance to play in the Veterans Bash Tournament, fill out the tournament application through the link on the American Legion's press release, which you can find at legion.org. Legion.org. You can also watch the tournament stream live on Twitch.tv/RegimentGG on December 4th from 5 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, the tournament will be streamed live on the website Twitch.tv/RegimentG, as in golf, G as in golf, double G. You do not need a Twitch account to view it. It also can be viewed on the website checkmategaming.com. Now, this project, Regiment Gaming's mission, is to unite veterans and service members through the power of video games. According to Chris Earle, a U.S. Marine veteran and a founder and CEO of Regiment Gaming, his view is that video games actually provide stress relief a lot of veterans turn to for coping with physical and emotional trauma, like post-traumatic stress. And he actually believes that it's a way to help veterans deal with those things and will actually help combat veteran suicide, which I thought was an interesting viewpoint. In his view, it helps veterans a lot. He's a video gamer himself, Chris Earle. He started Regiment Gaming before transitioning out of the military as a way, as he said, to keep the military camaraderie that he had while he was serving. As he said, quote, "I was worried about the transition and wanted to still have that military camaraderie to fall back on, and Regiment was my answer. It has provided that to me, as well as to thousands of other veterans," unquote. So the American Legion's press release indicated that its partnership with Regiment Gaming is an opportunity to engage with younger veterans in this platform where they are active and find camaraderie. Andre Andrews, the third vice commander at American Legion, Ronald Reagan Post 283 in Palisades, California, is a gamer himself and is excited that the American Legion is getting involved with it. As Andrew said, quote, gaming is a great way to connect with veterans. We have found it to be a great connecting tool for us. What I like about gaming is the community, the camaraderie, friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood. I feel like I'm back in the military when I'm gaming, unquote. Andrew said that technology is leading the way for younger veterans when it comes to gaming. So the American Legion's opportunity to get involved with regiment gaming is a way, quote, to generate new younger members within this great organization and use gaming as a recruitment apparatus. Regiment Gaming is the largest military gaming community in America. It has united over 7,500 veterans and service members of every U.S. military branch through video games and has raised more than $60,000 for military charities and organizations through their tournaments. What Earl likes about gaming is that it, quote, helps people. It's pretty underrated. It's a multi-million dollar business. A lot of people don't understand that. They think it's a toy. It's very therapeutic. It's saved a lot of lives, and it's fun. It's just a way for you to connect with your friends that are 1,000 miles away that you haven't seen in a long time, unquote. The Kansas City Pioneers, which is a multi-discipline export team in Kansas City, is also a sponsor of the Veterans Bash Tournament. One of their professional gamers, Josiah Berry, will be participating in the tournament. Again, you can learn more about the organization Regiment Gaming at the website regiment.gg. All right, Rick, over to you.
Are you or a family member of yours a cigarette smoker? Hope not, but if so, are you concerned about long-term health problems caused by smoking? A VA press release from November 18, 2021, the VA announced that, in conjunction with the Great American Smokeout observed on November the 18th, 2021, the Department of Veteran Affairs is encouraging veterans to talk to their health care providers about smoking cessation programs to help them quit as cigarette use continues to decline nationwide. 2020 survey of veteran enrollees' health and use of health care data findings report published in March 2021 found that the rate of veterans enrolled in VA healthcare identified as smokers dropped nearly 20% in 21 years from 33% in 1999 to 13.3% in 2020. That's really good. By comparison, the smoking rate among enrolled veterans is slightly lower than the rate of smokers in the U.S. general population, which is currently 14.2%. Quitting smoking isn't easy. Don't quit trying. The benefits of quitting include reducing stress and cancer risks, lowering blood pressure and cholesterol, and improving one's overall mental health, said National Mental Health Director for Tobacco and Health, Kim Hamlet Berry, PhD. While rates of smoking have steadily declined, most people make several attempts to quit. Research has found that in combining treatments such as counseling and prescription medication increases a veteran's chances of stopping smoking for good. In addition to VA's wide range of tobacco use treatment options, VA provides many other services designed to help veterans stop smoking, like nicotine replacement products, gum and patches, supportive resources such as Quit Vet, which you can call at 1-855-QUIT-VET. That's Q-U-I-T-V-E-T. The number is 1-855-784-8838 to receive tobacco cessation counseling from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's Monday through Friday. Counseling is available in English and Spanish. There's also Smoke-Free Vet. For tools and tips to quit smoking, veterans can sign up for Smoke-Free Vet by texting VET to 478-48. That's 478-48. This service is also available in Spanish. Counseling support and all FDA-approved smoking cessation medications are available for eligible veterans seeking assistance with quitting smoking. Learn more about VA's tobacco cessation resources at www.mentalhealth.va.gov/quit-tobacco/how-to-quit.asp. Let me do that again. That's www.mentalhealth.va.gov/quit-tobacco-how-to-quit.asp. You know, David, having been around the recovery area for many, many years, dealing with alcohol, I remember talking to so many of people in the alcohol program who were also smokers and said that quitting smoking is twice as hard as quitting drinking.
Wow.
And yeah, yeah. And, it's really amazing. I mean, a lot of people who are in the alcohol rehab program, continue to smoke because if they're going to, you know, they don't want to give up all their vices. So they're going to hang on to the smoking, give up the drinking. But, you know, the smoking, it's also, they're continue doing it because it's just so hard. And they just constantly quit and relapse, which, you know, you see in the AA program, but you don't see it like you see it in the smoking. So that nicotine is just a killer. And, I found interesting the statistics about how it's gone down. And, you know, we talk about the Vietnam veteran and how in their little, pack that was given to them when they were out in the field or, you know, even, I guess, around the base and in that little pack, for what you call it. But, you know, you'd have a little sandwich, you'd have maybe a piece of fruit, maybe a little beef jerky, maybe a piece of chocolate, and always at least 4 cigarettes in that pack. And, if you weren't, we say, you know, if you weren't a smoker before you got to Vietnam, by the time you left after 12 months, you certainly were on your way. It's good to see that it's as a nation and amongst society as well as the veteran population that it's going down, and that's a good thing. So, you know, people out there, you know, I gave you a couple of those tools. That Quit Vet, that's one. And let me give you that number again. That's 855-QUIT-VET, 855-784-8838. You know, they're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 9 Eastern Standard Time, in English and Spanish. Give that program a call and just talk to them. You know, smoking's going to kill you. You know, David, you and I have dealt with that, with all the health issues that we deal with our veterans. That smoking, you know, you can almost mail it in. If you're a smoker, you've been smoking your entire life, it's going to get you. Over to you.
Yeah, just a matter of time. And what's interesting is, I think it was sometime in the 1990s, the VA changed the rules. The law changed so that under the Disability Compensation Program for disabled vets, they no longer would pay disability compensation for smoking-related disabilities. Even though, Rick, as you described, you know, Vietnam and certainly in wars before that, you know, where the military would give out free cigarettes, and it was really encouraged and promoted. And certainly the United States culture was a lot different back then. You know, you would see advertisements that smoking was actually healthy for you and all this. But anyway, the point is, in the 90s, the VA said, we're not going to pay disability compensation for smoking-related illnesses. Now, there is an exception, which is, I think, extraordinarily difficult to successfully use. And that exception would be that if you could convince the VA that the reason you were smoking was to deal with, let's say, stress, post-traumatic stress, that you've already been able to convince the VA was due to your military service, you might be able to, you know, theoretically use that exception. But, I think it's very, very difficult, very uphill battle. So I guess the best advice is, and this starts when people are young, when they're teenagers, encourage them not to start in the first place, you know, but, same thing.
Then you got that other thing going on, what do they call vaping?
Yeah, but also you have the whole society, which is, you know, in the last number of decades, you know, no smoking, has become very commonplace. You know, a lot of places you can't smoke in indoor buildings. All right. But on the other hand, what we're seeing is a reverse a trend going in exact opposite direction for the expanded use of harmful, what have been, still are, illegal drugs, marijuana, but a lot of other drugs, which is, you know, there is really a movement, I think, pushed by people that enjoy the illegal drugs, but also behind it, it's always follow the money. See the money. The people that are making money off the marijuana growing, just like the big pharmaceutical industries, there are people that will make a lot of money on the expansion of the legalization of, first they'll decriminalize and then they'll legalize all these drugs. And then these same idiot morons, self-serving greedy bastards, excuse me, that are doing this are also the ones that are going to be funding the need that they've created for counseling, therapy, rehabilitation programs that they will have created. So it's terribly destructive to our society. I'm really angry about it to see what's going on, you know, because these drugs are not harmless, you know, including marijuana. It's not harmless. It's not. And it's, you know, these idiots, these people like John Morgan that push it in Florida for medication, medicinal marijuana for medication. It's not. They're potheads that just want to get high. That's what it's about. And anyway, so it's a soapbox I enjoy being on because you just don't hear that anymore. So, Rick, over to you.
Okay, more news. One big issue affecting many veterans is employment. Whether that means finding a job with an existing business or starting your own business, the VA and many other veteran groups, such as Veterans Florida, have numerous programs to help. As one of many examples, the Department of Veteran Affairs, in collaboration with Penn Fed Foundation, helped three women-owned small businesses earn business development grants used to support their growing companies. According to a November 16th VA press release, the three winners received a total of $30,000 from participating in the October 4th Women Veteran GovCon Bootcamp Accelerator Pitch Competition. I'll say that one again. Women Veteran GovCon Bootcamp Accelerator Pitch Competition.
What's the acronym for that, for goodness sake?
They don't have one. The pitch competition was the conclusion of a series of business development trainings co-hosted by the VA Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization and Penn Fed Foundation. Judges considered several criteria, including the value proposition of the business pitch, if it offered a better solution than what was currently available on the market, and how the grant might help winners scale and grow their businesses. When asked about the program, recipients shared that they felt empowered, engaged, and better prepared for the future of their businesses. This program was amazing because it taught me a lot about federal contracting, said first place winner, Army veteran and President Abredo Analix Lisa Van Warmer. I thought I knew a lot about federal contracting because of my military service. However, this program taught me things I needed to know as a business owner. The program really helped me focus on the path I had to take to grow my company. Second place winner, Veronica Lane, Navy veteran and president of WJM Professional Services, has been in federal contracting for more than 27 years and recommends this program to any woman veteran-owned small business looking to expand their knowledge base. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is key, she said. You're going to learn that the government contract landscape changes on a daily basis. You get a different experience through every program that you go through. Learn as much as you can and pursue your dreams. Finishing third was Lizis Velez, National Guard veteran and president of LJV Development. She shared, I had some experience with federal contracting, but this program went right to the nitty-gritty. I knew I was going to learn something that I could apply right away. The program provided me with new information when compared to other federal contracting programs that I attended previously. The goal of the GovCon Bootcamp Accelerator Program is to empower women veterans, entrepreneurs, and improve women veteran business owners' well-being by getting them access to nationwide resources. Learn more about Penn Fed's Foundation's Federal Entrepreneur Investment Program at the website veip.penfedfoundation.org/. Again, veip.penfedfoundation.org/. The Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization has information about the VA's program to help women veteran entrepreneurs achieve success and economic opportunities. See va.gov. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. Shift gears entirely to a different veterans issue. This next issue deals with the Disability Compensation Program. Those of you that have disability claims with the VA have probably already realized how complex it is. There's thousands of pages of regulations and statutes and case law that affects those things. And all those things, the case law and the regulations and statutes, are frequently changing, sometimes at unpredictable times. Well, this next news item concerns the VA's November 15th press release, where the VA announced its update, its changes to the regulations that govern the disability ratings for cardiovascular and genitourinary disabilities. And these are just two of literally dozens of different categories of regulations that are periodically being updated. The rulemaking is rather complex. You know, they have to go through certain processes to make sure that the public has an opportunity to comment on the proposed regulation, and they'll get comments from veteran organizations, from individual veterans, veteran advocates about these, and sometimes they'll have organizations that will challenge these proposed regulations or even the regulations once they're finalized, about whether they're within the scope of the statute, whether there are other problems with it. So the VA has announced some changes just to these categories. Now, what did the VA accomplish with these changes, which hopefully were improvements? Well, the VA says that they renamed certain conditions. They removed what they felt was obsolete language. They clarified ambiguities. They added some conditions with new diagnostic codes that had not previously been used. And the VA says that they received and considered and responded to comments from the National Organization of Veteran Advocates, the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and other veterans. And hopefully these changes will be for the better, will benefit veterans. The VA wants people to know that veterans that are already receiving evaluations for these conditions, the VA will not reduce the evaluation simply based on the rating schedule change. A reduction in evaluation may only occur if there is an improvement in a disability sufficient to warrant a reduction under the former criteria. If you're interested in reading more about this, or if you suffer from insomnia and you need something to help you go to sleep at night, then simply go to the website, the VA's website, and look for Title 38 of the Code of Federal Regulations, the VA's Schedule for Rating Disabilities, and you'll find an unbelievable volume of these updates, because they're updating various conditions. Like, some of the updates that they've made in the last 4 years have included for dental conditions, conditions related to the endocrine system, infectious diseases, the eyes, lymphatic system, muscular skeletal and muscle injuries. The list goes on. Rick, I know, you know, you deal with this every day in your work. It's really unbelievably detailed, just the regulations themselves. And despite the details, I would think you'd probably agree there's a lot of ambiguity in some of them, you know. And the criteria that are supposed to be applied to decide, you know, should the veteran get a 10% rating, 30%, a 50%, whatever. So it's just...
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, because, you know, I'm going to use an example of the PTSD, which has always kind of annoyed me. If you look at the wording for a 30% rating versus a 50% rating, and it really takes a wordsmith to really decipher the difference between the 30 and the 50. It is so close, and then it becomes such a subjective test. And unfortunately, what the VA most of the time always does, they grab the 30 and they give the veteran the 30% rather than the 50%, when they could very easily have just rolled it up to the 50%. And, you know, we've talked for years on this show about why the VA does that and their motivation for keeping the monthly payment down and everything else. So, but yeah, I mean, you really got to, go into these regs and pull them apart and almost word by word. And then you can see the difference between, the different ratings. And that's why you got to fight for it, because the VA is going to err on the lower rating, generally speaking. And so therefore you've got to fight and push and argue why the higher rating, really applies to your condition. And as David said, if you have sleep apnea or some sleep issues, Title 38 is a great alternative to the CPAP machine.
So, and no medical side effects. Yeah, no medical side effects to that. So, all right. Other than extreme boredom, but let's move on to some other, practical news for veterans out there. And this next item, particularly affecting veterans that served in Southwest Asia, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia. The VA announced this several months ago, but it's certainly worth repeating because this is going to affect many thousands of veterans suffering from certain respiratory conditions. The VA began processing disability claims on August 2nd of this year for asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis on a presumptive basis based on presumed particulate matter exposures during military service in Southwest Asia and certain other areas. If those conditions manifested or showed themselves within 10 years of a qualifying period of service. So that 10 years, there's always a catch. And hopefully if you suffer from one of those, it was diagnosed within 10 years. Now, the VA conducted the first part of a newly formed internal VA process to review scientific evidence to support the change in these rules. And it resulted in the recommendation to consider the creation of new presumptions of service connection for respiratory conditions. It's something we've been talking about on this show, and we've had guests on the show talking about the importance of a presumptive list so that veterans don't have to fight for years and hire their own experts to prove to the VA that their specific respiratory condition was at least as likely as not caused by the exposures to the known pollutants, the particulate matter exposure, whether it was open air burn pits or just other conditions, the desert conditions, the pollution in some of these countries, that they were exposed to when they served there. So the process that the VA used concluded that particulate matter pollution, which is what they call it, is associated with chronic asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis for veterans who served in the Southwest Asia Theater Operation. And their start date for this presumption is August the 2nd, 1990. What happened on August the 2nd, 1990? That was the day that Iraq invaded Kuwait. And it kicked off within a few days, Operation Desert Shield. So that's the start date. And the date for Southwest Asia continues from August 2nd until the present time. Or if they served in Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Syria, or Djibouti, beginning September 19th, 2001, which was obviously the post 9/11 military operations. The VA's review also concluded that there was sufficient evidence to presume that these veterans have been exposed to particulate matter. So hopefully this is just the beginning. But Rick, I think you'll probably agree with this, is that asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis tend to be on the, you know, they tend to be the on the lower spectrum of serious disabilities. In other words, yes, asthma can be very serious. Even these others can be, you know, somewhat disabling. But we've represented veterans, and we've had guests on our show that in the past that have talked about veterans suffering from respiratory, more serious respiratory conditions and cancers that that should be on this presumptive list, but they aren't. Hopefully, it won't take 10 or 20 years for the VA to get with that. So anyway, enough of that topic. Back over to you, Rick.
Military Veterans Advocacy, MVA, has established a Bill of the Week. With this program, MVA highlights critical legislation that will benefit veterans. You can also access links to send messages of support to your representative. in the House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators. So, week of November 22nd to November 29th, H.R. 2601 and S1188, H.R. 2601 and S118, the FFC Health Robinson Byrne Pitt Transparency Act, will direct the Secretary of Veteran Affairs to notify Congress regularly of reported cases of burn pit exposure by veterans. This will address an issue affecting an immense number of service members and veterans. Establishing reporting requirements for veterans and military members affected by open burn pits is important to ensure they receive adequate benefits and compensation. The first phase in addressing a program is to understand it. These bills will deepen the knowledge and data surrounding veterans affected by burn pit-related illnesses. We believe requiring the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to regularly notify Congress of reported burn pit exposure will improve the treatment of these veterans. Please ask your member of Congress and senators to support these bills. You can go to p2a.co/n3t6kiu. Let me do that again. Lowercase p to lowercase a dot lowercase c lowercase o forward slash lowercase n 3, uppercase T, 6, uppercase K, uppercase I, and uppercase U. You can also go to www.militaryveteransadvocacy.org/bill-of-the-week.html. That's a mouthful, David. The bill of the week, that's pretty good, David, huh?
Actually, go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org. That's John Wells' group. He's been a guest many times on our show. He's the leader of a great organization, militaryveteransadvocacy.org. And on their website, you'll see across the top of their homepage, you'll see a tab that includes their projects. And if you click on that, and the drop-down menu will have the bill of the week. And they update this every single week. They're highlighting 2, 3, or 4 bills, pending legislation in Congress. And they could not make it simpler for you if you want to communicate, because that link, Rick, Rick just gave out, you don't have to worry about writing it down. Go to militaryveteransadvocacy.org, go on the bill of the week. If you pick a particular bill that you're interested in supporting, you click on the link. It will open up a menu. You put in your name, your zip code, and the computer will automatically link your message to your particular representative in the House of Representatives and your two United States senators. And so you could send a message, and it will provide you with sample wording, which you could change. But this can be done in 5 minutes or less. And it's a way to be heard about this. And I've done this, and I've gotten it works, because I've gotten emails back from my representative, from my two U.S. senators, acknowledging the communication. Of course, you don't know whether they're going to do anything about it, but at least, you do know that the squeaky wheel gets the grease in Washington. So if enough veterans voice this, they're keeping track. They've had constituents, supporting legislation. So I encourage you to do this. People are busy. They're very busy. They have too much going on. But Military Veterans Advocacy could not have made it easier than this program, veterans. So listen up, pay attention, go to their website, look to their homepage, militaryveteransadvocacy.org, and their Bill of the Week project, and go through there. They're doing many hours of research to make it easier for you, so don't let it go to waste. Okay, Rick, over to you for our closing.
I just find it really funny, David. Sports has the player of the week. Player of the month, all that stuff. Now we have the bill of the week. Just think that's pretty comical. Okay, we always close our show with the Coaching in the Care program. This program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and you and loved ones can help. Coaching in the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Call the program at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, the Coaching in the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. Once again, I'd like to also remind people that, we have the Veteran Suicide line as well. So if a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has a veteran crisis line. Call that number at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, that number at the Veteran Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. That's all for me, David.
Thanks. Thanks for listening this week. Tune in next week. Our special guest will be retired Army Colonel Mike Borders, who's the president of the Florida Council of Chapters Officers of the Military Officers Association of America. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We hope you'll tune in next week, same time, same station. Until then, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.